Is that song too much or what? Like that song, you feel like you can't sing it like hard enough, loud enough. Did you ever have that problem? You're like, great. And it just keeps ramping up and cycling. It's like, let's try it one more time. Like, oh, it's just a good song. And I'll tell you what's amazing about our worship times. The more you get to know Him, and the more you walk with Him. And don't get tricked into letting theology, doctrine, or the church go to take the place of knowing Him. Knowing Him is what it's all about. Having a relationship with God. You can let your daily devotion take the place of knowing Him. Even though it's okay to sit and do your devotion, but you can do it in a very impersonal way, and you can let that make you qualify. And hey, I did my devotion this morning, but have you been with Him? Because being with Him and knowing Him is the only thing that will truly transform our lives apart from our own works. You're saved by grace through faith. Every time you release faith in the truth, grace comes to make that truth your reality, and you don't have to try to become it. Grace empowers you to be that thing. You're not going to do that apart from relationship with God. I know in the church in America, we preach that Jesus is the way to heaven, but He's really the way back to the Father. He's back. He paid the price for you to have union with God. Please don't miss that. Please get to know the Lord. Please talk to Him when you're all alone. Please talk to Him more than you let the thoughts of your mind just race. Please talk to Him more than you just call somebody else and talk to them about it. Be with the Lord. Really. Like Jesus said, I know what we say. We say eternal life is praying a prayer to go to heaven and asking God to forgive your sins. I know we've said that. I've heard that my whole life as a child growing up. But Jesus said eternal life is knowing Him, the only true God. I'm going to go with Jesus on this one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I've read in Scripture where knowledge can puff you up, but love edifies. I've seen it in my life where I've met people that know the Word so well they can quote it, finish it while you're speaking it. But sometimes they're mean. And mad. And they got issues and people trouble and their knowledge puffs them up and they get judgmental and they use the Word in a way that God isn't ever intending. You know that you know Him when you walk in love. And love isn't weakness. Love is Jesus. The Bible says, beloved, let us love one another. It's 1 John 4:7. It's there. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is and everyone who loveth. Now you have to understand, when He says loveth, He's talking about love. He's talking about Bible love. He's talking about not taking account of suffered wrongs. He's talking about not seeking your own. He's talking about not having issues and people stuff. And He said, she said, well, I wouldn't. Well, how come they? Well, no. He's talking about love. He's not talking about tit for tat, and he said, she said, and I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't. Well, they started it. We've been trained by a language that He's never spoken. We've been trained by a mindset and perspective that you cannot find in the life of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't learn it from Him, where'd we learn it? I'm just telling you, we've been homeschooled in the wrong home. The wisdom of man hath become our truth. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its way leadeth unto death. It's not about being right. It's about walking in righteousness. It's about being right with God. It's never about having issues. He said, beloved, let us love one another because He's love. And everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Which tells me you can't love apart from knowing Him, because He is love. So you got to get grafted back into the vine. You have to get hooked back up to Him.
Amen.
You can't just bite your lip and say, okay, I'm going to love Him. People say, back off, brother, I'm trying to forgive. When you're trying to forgive, you're in unforgiveness. You say, well, I'm trying not to be mad. You're already mad. Knowing Him is what's going to change us. He said, beloved, let us love one another. He said, because God is loving everyone, all inclusive, everyone who loveth. There's a reason, because you're born of God and you knoweth God. He said in verse 8, he who loveth not Now I understand he doesn't say isn't born of God. He doesn't say you're not born of God. But he says this. He who loveth not knoweth not God. He didn't say you don't go to church. He didn't say you're not a pastor. He didn't say you don't go on a mission trip. He didn't say you don't lead and worship and teach as an itinerant preacher. But let me tell you what he did say. He who loveth not, there's one reason, not two. One, not two. One. You don't know God. It doesn't say you don't know all about him. It doesn't say you can't preach a sermon concerning him and be correct theologically. Powerful. He who loveth not. That means who has issues and hang-ups and past memories that are affecting them today, and they can't release people and see people for their value, purpose, and potential instead of their mistakes, failures, or even willfulness. You've got to learn to separate people from what they're doing and what they're called to. What they're doing and what they're created for. You can do that without being afraid of enabling them. You can do that without being afraid to be a doormat. Jesus was not a doormat. But he never changed his mind about you. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who feels like they gave the Lord fits in this room? Who feels like they fought the Lord for a while or ignored convictions or did things they knew better and did them anyway? Who feels like they've ever done that? Okay, so did God change his mind about you? Did God change anything? Did Jesus backtrack? Could you change who he is through that? Why? Because his love never fails. Because God is love. Let's not miss this. I know he's God. He's an amazing being. And I'm not downsizing God when I say this. He knows what I'm saying. So don't you jump the gun and judge me quick. He doesn't just do these things because he's God. He does them because he's love.
Oh, amen.
And if we don't get that, we can't follow that. Because you can't follow God, but you can follow love. Come on, man. Jesus was mistreated more than any man will ever be mistreated in the history of time. There was never anyone more pure, more perfect, and more amazing. And they said he was none of that. They said it was better to release Barabbas and kill him. That's strange. Barabbas killed a man. Jesus raises the dead. Barabbas causes conspiracy. Jesus is pursuing peace. And somehow they have a problem with him. He can't do enough good. It's always challenged and questioned and criticized. But he never stopped doing good, did he? He never stopped being good. He never changed his mind. Why? Because he's Jesus? Because he's love.
Well, there you go.
That Jesus told me, Greg, to follow him. Oh, and that's even better than singing to him. Because singing to him is great. But following him is amazing.
Amen.
I've never been so free in my life. I'm either the most deceived man you ever met or I'm free. Time will tell. I got my chips on free.
Come on.
My chips are on free. I pushed them all over on the free space. Why? Because you just get to see me for a weekend. And you might think I'm just ramped up or put on my preaching jacket. I live with me. I get to live with me. So I know me. I woke up with me this morning. It was awesome. You know why it was awesome? Because I'm free. I'm not self-conscious. I don't have issues. I'm not waiting for you to do anything right for me or nice for me. Watch this. You have no ability to break my heart, to hurt me, to slow me down. Why? I did not wake up to be loved by you. I woke up to be more like him. I woke up to follow Jesus, not need something from you. That empowers me to better love you. And now you can never fail me or let me down or be my justifiable, solical reason for not being like him. Well, I'd be more like Jesus if it wasn't for Greg. Well, that doesn't fly. I used you as an example because that was a funny example. I didn't want to say anybody else's name. They might have took me serious. This is what happened to us. Adam was made for God's image. Adam was made to house God's glory. But in God's glory, people, let's not forget is God's nature, God's heart, and everything that He is. Let's not just think Adam was some power-packed, awesome, shining, radiant dude that has dominion. He possessed the very heart and nature of God. Adam was made to love. And when God looked after He named all the animals, He said, wow, every animal has a comparable partner, has one comparable. Adam has none. There's none comparable to this man. What's he saying? There's nowhere for this love to go. There's nowhere this love can multiply. As I made the man to manifest myself on the earth through the man is stuck like I was stuck before I made the man. Puts him in a deep sleep, doesn't make another lump of clay. Reaches into the man, into the fullness of God in the man. He reaches the strength, the nature, the person of God in the man. He reaches into God in man and brings out the woman. He makes what was one, two, so two could be one. Highest expression of God on the earth. A married couple surrendered. Two wills becoming one. Two purposes becoming one. Different personalities, different preferences. I'm not talking about cloning and uniformity. I'm talking about like hearts. I'm talking about a man and a woman waking up in the morning for the kingdom of God. I'm talking about a man and a woman that have humbled themselves for the cause of the Lord, that have denied themselves and given themselves for the glory of God together to synergism, to be a stronger one. Yeah? Where they actually grow and mature. This thing is so possible. Let's not be sold cheap and get lulled to sleep. Where they actually believe that tension and animosity and frustration in a relationship is a no-go. And as far as they're concerned, it's not going to happen because it takes two to tango and one to make peace. Come on. Oh, I feel the uncomfortable quiet in the room. I perceive a lot of things. No, it's okay. Come on, every time we live that way, we just prove that we reveal that we don't have the revelation of Jesus that we sing about. It doesn't mean we're bad and evil and hypocrites. It means we have a lack of understanding, but that's what we're destroyed from. And you grew up hearing, what you don't know won't hurt you. Wrong! It's a lie. Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. It's a lie. It's a lie. What you don't know is destroying you. Taking advantage of you, eating you up. In all you're getting, get understanding. Yeah? Come on, man. Tension, animosity. All of a sudden you're committed. You understand that Jesus made you for a reason. And you pursue that reason. And it's not going to heaven someday.
Yeah.
It's heaven coming back into you now. So the kingdom of God is here.
Amen.
So you can walk in the light as He's in the light. So you can follow Him. Jesus said He was the light of the world. And before He left, guess what He said to the guys? You're now the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men. So they see your life lived, your good works, and they glorify. Just the way you found the Father through me, and when you see me, you've seen the Father. Tag, you're it. Here's the baton. New covenant, New Testament church. I'm putting my life in you, my spirit in you. Walk in the light as He's in the light. And let your light so shine before man. So why are we on the planet? To shine. Not to make it, whatever that means. Come on. At large, in the church. I travel all over. There's mentalities that I've seen that are from coast to coast. Messages that benefit us. Getting lulled to sleep and believing Jesus has just come to make sure our lives go better. We think He's here just to protect us and provide for us and kind of serve us. There's discouraged people that go to church. It proves something. We don't understand why he came. We're taking life personal instead of the gospel. We're only as good as it's going instead of as good as he is in us. All of a sudden we're letting life speak louder than truth. That's a problem because truth makes you free. See, if you're not free, you don't need deliverance. Freedom is the absence of truth. We don't need as much deliverance as we think. We need truth in our lives. And what we don't see is destroying us and taking advantage of us. There's a reason every one of us woke up today. And it's to shine. And anything that comes against you shining is an enemy. This little girl, precious girl, she stood up and I see Jesus in her. She's so precious. She was even in the presence of my enemies. You're good. Let me just talk about that for a second. Because your enemies are never flesh and blood. Your war is never flesh and blood. Anything that comes against the light, anything that's trying to turn you down, to shut you down, to turn you off, to get you self-conscious, people-conscious, instead of kingdom-conscious and Christ-conscious. It's not about things working out the way you're hoping. Sometimes that just don't happen, and it ain't even in God's interest to make that happen. Sometimes He'll let that thing roll out just wanting you to look like He would in that situation. Why? Because you're the body of Christ. Sometimes we cry and cry for the fire to go out. He wants you to show the world what it looks like to be in there believing. And not even be threatened by the fire and live as if you don't even see it and you're not in denial. Yeah. I'm telling you, we preach a rescue me gospel all over this country. We preach a gospel that serves me instead of transforms me. We preach tons of beneficial messages that cater to the hearer, that make them want to come to God for what they can get from Him instead of how they can be transformed into being more like Him.
Wow. Wow.
Christianity is transformation.
Yes.
Not a promise of eternal life. It's new life. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's just cut through some religious stuff here. It's hard. I can feel a little bit right now. The goal of Christianity is not you getting to heaven someday. That's a promise because you're one with the eternal one. The goal is to become the man He created you to be, the woman He created you to be from the beginning apart from sin and the fall of man. The redemption of Christ is designed to bring you back to what always was in the beginning. To where man was made in God's image and His likeness. And God is love. God made man to love. We were born into needing it. Why? Because Adam sinned and got separated from the source of love and became in need of love. And every man was born into Adam, and we were all born into no identity. Not one person in this room had a grip on who you were when you were born. When you came to a conscious age of awareness, you were totally insecure, totally dependent on others. You needed stability, a support system. You needed love. You needed appreciated. You needed valued. You needed honored. And amazingly, most of us didn't have that list crackling and popping in our lives. So then we began to learn things about ourselves and believe things about ourselves based on the facts. And at a very young age, you're nothing more than a product of how you responded to how it all went down. And there's where you say you found yourself. And the whole thing's built on a lie. Because you can only find yourself in Him. There's so much insecurity in people. There's so much self-consciousness. There's so much need for this and that. A parent, somebody close to us, Uncle so-and-so could touch us wrong. And that thing can rule our whole lives. Why? Because we find our identity through what we've been through instead of what he's been through.
Whoa, whoa.
That's why people say, well, you don't know what happened to me. Well, you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. Well, you don't know what... Why? They keep going back there because it's the only place they ever found a sense of identity, whether good or bad. And they actually believe that's them. And Jesus is saying, come out from among them. That is not you. You're not the person that was touched wrong or unloved by your dad. Take a good close look. I have loved you from this place. Yeah? Isn't it amazing how quick we're saying, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And never even consider what he went through. And never really get the message. A table for me in the presence of my enemies. She sang it over and over, and it blessed my heart. Because here's the deal. He's still good. He's still good. So that the psalm, in the presence of the table, in the presence of the enemies, he allows me to feast in the midst of everything that's going on. And that feast is the truth. Knowing who I am in the midst of it all, so that I can rightly convey what he paid for. Amen. It's called walking in love. But look, why when you're done wrong, do you live as if you were done wrong? When you're cheated, why do you live cheated? Because we take on the identity of what's happening instead of what he accomplished. And we live very personal, individual lives, and we get tricked into bringing Jesus into that scene, hoping he makes sure those things never happen. And if they do happen, we wonder where we missed it. Should I pray harder? What did I do wrong? Did I open a door? Why is the devil? Who's ever heard somebody say this? Well, the devil's really attacking my finances right now. He's not attacking your finances. He's attacking the kingdom, and he's using your finances as a tool. It's all about the kingdom. You got to seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek ye first the well-being of your finances. When you see clear, you'll have a faith in every area. All of a sudden you'll realize, man, this thing right now, even though I need finances and this ain't good and I got some bills coming, God, you're going to do this. This thing's trying to get me so focused here that I actually get distracted on why I woke up this morning and why I'm alive and why you're in me. And I'm missing that this is a war, a demon war against the kingdom of God. And I get to stand on behalf of the king and seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Yeah? But what happens is we start assessing, well, I don't know what's happening. Anyway, I need prayer. Keep me in prayer. I need another breakthrough. And next thing you know, we're just trying to make it. And the whole time you're in that position, you can't tell me you're shining. And yet you're anointed to be the light of the world. So anything that takes out the light is a lie and an enemy. See, he's just using your finances as a tool. But he's really trying to get the kingdom to shut down in your life. It says the sower sows the word. Chris, the kingdom of God, as if a man scatters seed. It says that seed comes to a man's heart. And Satan immediately comes for the word's sake. Not because he has issues with Chris. He wants to stop the kingdom of God in Chris. He wants to stop the potential of God in Chris. And if Chris takes adversity personal, he's going to miss the whole point. We've taken life personal. Many of us. And what we're going through determines how we're doing. And how it's been is how we are. And it's all a lie. Christ in you. The hope of glory. There's a higher view to embrace. Please, please, please don't let people decide where you are. Why would you let what one man said and one man did decide how you are today if their name's not Jesus?
Wow.
Why would you give people that kind of power in your life because it makes sense to men and we grew up with that trivial called knowledge? I am done with that. Man, if somebody treats me that way, it's going to make me weep for them. Because if they really knew God and understood who they were, they wouldn't be living that way. They wouldn't be acting that way. It's going to make me want to pray for them and cry for them, not cry because of them. See, my days of being hurt ended a long time ago. My days of being angry, frustrated, disappointed, and discouraged, I lost that platform and landing strip in my life when I got this revelation in my heart. You don't have to believe me. Time will tell that I'm telling the truth one day. I don't even struggle with this stuff anymore, Pastor. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm telling you it's possible. Because this gospel has washed my brain into a way of thinking. And I don't know how to see anything else. If I don't wake up for you to love me, then I'm positioned to finally love you. If I need something from you, you might just let me down. And then I might just become a product of what you lacked in. And then your name might come up and you might just be the reason why I'm the way I am. Anybody ever live like that? Think like that? Anybody hear anybody talk any language like that in their life? But here's the thing. I never saw Jesus talk like that. And if you can't put those words in his mouth, why are they in ours? And if we didn't get it from him, then you ought to be concerned where we got it. Who's ever just felt sorry for themselves? The biggest trap in the planet. See, let us make man in our... And it says in verse 27, so God made man in his image, both male and female, after his own likeness, right? He blessed him. He told him to be fruitful, multiply. What's he talking about? Hey, guys, get it on and get pregnant, girl. What he's saying is multiply the image. The whole context is image. So he's telling him to multiply what I created you to be till the whole earth is filled with my glory. What would it look like? Two people coming together that are selfless, that actually love each other and lay down their life, and all that is mine is yours and all that is yours is mine. And in that place they conceive children, and that's all people would know. That's what was intended. But when they ate the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything changed. And man didn't just sin, he took on the nature of God's enemy, and love got perverted into selfishness. Every man on the planet has been born into self-centeredness. Nobody had to teach you to be angry. It came by sheer instinct. Why? Because you personally were violated in some way. You were too little to even speak English. You were barely a year old. But they took the cup out of your hand, or they popped the binky out of your mouth for some reason. Or they tried to change your little diaper and you didn't feel like it. And most children, very little. No, mine, give me. I love kids. I think they're the most amazing thing. But when you look, you can see they're all going to need born again. But I love children. What I'm saying is, you can see the self-centered lie right there. Nobody had to teach them. Nobody had to teach two kids how to want the same toy at the same time and fight over it. Come on, little toddlers, they can't even speak. Their moms are sipping tea, crying over Scripture and Jesus. And the kids, and they're just playing with their little toy, ain't they? So you let the one look at the toy in between them. Ain't nobody even looked at it. They touch that toy. What's the other one do? Now they both got the same toy. Oh, children, come out, Jesus' name. Does this stuff happen? It's self-centeredness. It's me, myself, and I. It's gimme, I want. Give it up. It's live at the expense of another. Love lays down its life. Do you hear the difference? James said, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. What are most of us our whole lives? Got a whole lot to say, ticked off, and don't want to hear it. It's not an accident. Perversion. On the earth, we were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were trained by falsity and lies. Every man for himself. Survival of the fittest. It's a lie. It's hurt so many of us. They laugh at you in third grade for something you're wearing. Third grade. And you're aware of yourself, and you know they're laughing at you. And you're faced with a big challenge. You either become introverted, low esteem, slowly on the inside, or you harden yourself and become a fighter and say, I don't care. But either way, it ain't you. The outcome isn't the real you. It's all built on a lie. And you think you know who you are, and you take this little test, and you're this type personality and this type. Why am I this? Why am I that? No. Christ in you. Christ in you. You show me one scripture where Jesus said, if you pray this prayer and ask me into your heart, I'll send you to heaven. He never made heaven the goal. We make heaven the goal. Why? Because it's self-serving. Wow. Who wouldn't buy in? It gives you something. Instead, it causes you to become something. Our whole goal is getting people to pray a prayer so they can go to heaven. Jesus said, if any man come after me, there's one thing he's got to do. The first thing on the list, if he thinks he's going to come after me, he needs to deny himself. Why? Because Genesis says you weren't made for yourself. You were made for His image. And the biggest problem on the planet is every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for the image of God. Every day Christians wake up without realizing it, not hypocrites, not evil. Christians, good-hearted people that see their need for a Savior, but misunderstand or don't understand this truth, wake up and are Christians for themselves. And are vulnerable to be hurt, disappointed, and let down. Mad at their pastor. Shifting churches. Well, I ain't going back. Well, that wasn't a loving place. Should have been. You were there.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Who's seen people go to Atmosphere to test the church? Test. I'm going to go see if they're loving. What's it have to do anything with when you woke up to be like Him? You woke up to love. You're not going to see if a church is loving. Go be love. Amen. Go inspire somebody. Give to somebody. Lay down your life. Carry your cross already. And go ahead and follow Him. It's fun to follow Jesus. You don't get hurt in that place because you don't understand it. You say, oh, you don't get hurt, brother? Listen, you can compare your human experience with mine all you want and be in trouble. I don't even understand hurt anymore. I can't even tell you the last time I had to fight with the feeling of being hurt. Because I am so set in this thing for years that nobody owes me a thing and I didn't wake up for you to love me. I would not attend this church. If this was the church right here, I know we got visitors and people from all over, but if this was the house that attended here every week, I would not come here to find my identity. I would come here already having one.
Wow. Yes.
Are you with me? Come on. Hey, Jesus is serious. He ain't playing. That's why I'm aggressive and I smile a lot, but you can hear I'm serious.
Come on.
But I ain't spanking nobody. You don't feel corrected. I'm not being mean. It's just sharp. It's straight. It's sobering. But you cannot hear what I'm saying. It's too clear. I don't talk in riddles. Plain language. Because if it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. So I can't go too deep. I'd lose myself. If any man, don't you like that? All-inclusive language he always has. If any man, that means we're all invited. I know people teach different. There's wars out there in Christendom, you know. Well, God already knows who's saved. And there's people that can't be saved. No, no, no. If any man. Watch, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved unless you weren't chosen from the beginning. It doesn't say that.
Right.
Sorry, I don't. Am I in an area where that's prevalent or something? Because I'm going to get in trouble. I can feel it.
You're good.
I'm backing up. Come on, man. Let's just stop making the word say what it isn't saying. He just said, all who call on the name of the Lord. That means you can if you want to. Paul said, no man has no excuse. Why? Because grace is wooing his heart. He can look at physical, natural attributes of the earth and say, wow, there's a God. And know it in his heart. If he denies it, it's because he's choosing to. That's the Bible. If any man come after me, let him first deny himself. That's not some rigid works legalistic statement from Jesus. What it means is let the gospel change your perspective where you're not waking up for your sake, but His name's sake. Come on, you talk about integrity and character that imputes. You're going to work not just to earn an income and endure your boss and your crazy co-workers. You're going to work to do your work under the Lord and to shine as a light.
Amen.
That changes everything. All of a sudden you ain't praying for your boss to get knocked off his high horse or for you to get a new job. You actually have compassion for your supervisor. All of a sudden you're not praying to not have to work beside Billy because he gets on my nerves. You've got new nerves. Come on. Why is it always about something else changing and someone else changing? Why is our excuse always someone else's something? Well, I wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for this, this, and this, 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 and this is the Lord. Why is it governing your life? The Lord, supreme being, the governing factor, the ruling factor of your life, the Lord of your life. You say, well, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for That's natural wisdom. Has nothing to do with truth. Could you picture Jesus caught up in this mess? He's just sitting hanging out on the Mount of Olives some morning, you know. Couldn't sleep anyway, you know. He's like, I'm just troubled. Peter gets up a little early, trying to beat the rooster crow. That was bad. Poor Peter. I'm sorry, Peter. I know if you're listening, you'll understand. I'm just having fun. All of a sudden, Peter comes over. You know, he rubs the Lord's head, rubs his shoulder a little, down his arm, squeezes on. What's up, Lord? You look sad. You know, I've just been thinking, man. I'm just not sure people like me. I mean, I'm trying my best. I got instructions from the Father before I even came. Man, I remember Holy Spirit planning me to marry my mama. I just thought it'd be different, you know? But it's like, the more people I heal, the more they find something wrong with me. I'm just troubled. I mean, if they didn't change by now, Peter, I don't even know when they're going to change. Like, this isn't getting better. It's getting worse. And I just, some days I just feel like backing up. I just don't feel loved. I don't feel like facing nobody. But you know, they're still needy. They come to me. You see it. I've multiplied the food, right? Oh, that was amazing, Lord. Yeah. But why'd they come back the next day? Because they wanted more food. They could have cared less about what I was saying. Do you know how that makes me feel? I don't know. I think I need a break. I just can't imagine getting up from this place and going down this mountain and being thronged again by the same disrespectful heart. And then John comes over and he says, Lord, are you okay? John, today I'm going to lay my head on you, man. Would you just pray for me? Could you even fathom that conversation? Why? Because we know Jesus through Scripture. But He reveals who we are through Scripture. And He's firstborn among many brethren. As He does, so shall we do. Greater things even shall we do. He said, follow me. Firstborn among many. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Can you picture Jesus thinking, talking, and feeling like that? It sounds foolish and hilarious when you put Him in that equation. Then why doesn't it sound foolish if we're there when we're made for His image? Somehow we think following Him is trying to pull off a miracle. I think following Him is living from the place that His heart abides. I think your will be done on earth as it is in heaven has more to do with the heart of God than the power of God. We say no cancer in heaven, no cancer on earth. And it gives us the confidence to pray against cancer. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. But that's all we think. There's no animosity in heaven. There's no judgment. There's no jealousy, pride, unforgiveness, unresolved conflicts. Your will be done as it is in. Remember that 1 John 4:7-8 I quoted for you? Beloved, let us love one another. You know what verse 17 says? It says, here's how we know love has been perfected. Love has been perfected in this. We have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, that's an interesting statement, because if you read your Bible, the day of judgment is a day of dread and fear and darkness. It says men will cry out in despair and cry out that the rocks and trees consume them, lest they face the glory of His presence. Scripture says that. Here's how we know we've been perfected in love. We have boldness in that day. Why? Because I prayed the prayer, brother. I can tell you the day and time. It's not what it says. Because I got water baptized, brother. It's not what it says. Because I've been baptized in the Spirit and I've been praying in tongues more than y'all. It's not what it says. We have boldness in this. That as He is. See? He is love. As He is. Because the whole chapter, John 4, is He is love. He is love. If He loved us this way, ought we not love one another? Boom, boom, boom. The whole thing is love. As He is, meaning God is love, so are we this world. Love takes no account of the wrong done to it, keeps no record of what it's experienced in the way of wrong. Then why are we so busted up by each other? Why does any of us have issues? Because we haven't been perfected in love. Do you know love thinks no evil? Why do we think evil? Why do we think the worst? It's an indictment. It's a charge against us. You know why we avoid the appearance of evil? If it's only the appearance and it's not evil, why do you have to avoid it? Because people think evil. Love doesn't.
Right.
I tell a story all the time where I pick up a prostitute to find a crack addict that she was functioning again. We were helping her. She was doing so good. You just cry over this stuff. You're pouring into this lady. She's doing great. She's clean. She's growing. She's receiving love from people. She's coming out of a world where there's no trust, where she's condemned, where she's worth nothing. That's the root of all addictions. It's low esteem. It's people not seeing the value of their life. So they live up to the low level in which they assess themselves. If you can let the gospel teach people who they really are and raise their value, they'll wonder why they were attracted to this. They'll wonder why they needed this. They'll wonder why they sold cheap when they weren't for sale at all.
Wow.
You teach people who they are, not what they shouldn't do. I'm preaching right now. Oh, I didn't fly here to not preach. Yeah. Preaching good, too. No, I'm messing with you. I went down and found that girl. She hit on me. She tried to pick me up or me pick her up. I was looking for this girl. I went in a crack house. I couldn't find my girl. I was broken, man. I didn't want her down there. I was crying for her. She's so much more. I'm trying to find her. I'm parked on a corner. It's not there anymore, but it used to be a crack house right on the corner of Princess and Pine in my city. It's amazing how you know where they are, but they're there. And a citizen knows where they are, but they're there. I've been at several. I've been knocking on doors, hunting people, man. I'm dragging them out by their hair. No, I'm just you're just not afraid of that stuff. You go after people. God gives you grace, and it's good. So I'm looking for this house because it don't take long to find which one it is because there's some kind of traffic. You're just looking. You're just observing. And while you're observing, it's a hot summer night. You got your window down because your window's probably not been washed like it should have been and you see better and it's dark. Got my window down. It's summer. It's warm. Precious black girl comes up and leans in my window and she says, "Hey, honey, what you doing in this party?" I snatched her by the hand. Bam! Wrist. You don't do that. You don't grab nobody in the city. You don't hold their wrist and not let go. She's calling me things. You're thinking she's going to draw on you, cut your hand off or something. Don't think she ain't packing something. She's jerking her hand. Says, "Let me go. Let me the blank go. What are you blanking doing?" I said, "Honey, you asked me the wrong question. The question is, what are you doing in this part of town? Because if you had any idea who you were, you wouldn't be here doing what you're doing." She said, "Who are you? Who are you?" I said, "You're still asking the wrong question. The real question is, who are you? And I'm going to tell you. You don't even know me. I know you. There's a time to be born, and here you stand at my truck. You were predestined to be his daughter before time. Honey, your life is the will of God. You just don't understand it." And I said, "I'm going to let you go. Don't you run, because I need you to help me." "Yeah, how can I help?" She's like, "Crazy fool." She's looking at me like, "What?" Because I wouldn't let her go. She hit on the wrong truck. Come up to my window, thinks he's going to get a quick 20, 30 bucks for some quick 20, 30 second favor. That's what it amounts to half the time. Sad life, huh? Getting in the car of a person you don't even know. Doing a favor for him to make just enough money to stay high so you don't have to think about it. Pretty tough, huh? And then we think shame on them. Shame on all the guys that are helping let it happen. How lost is the man that's soliciting? He's just as lost as her. How come the man don't get nothing on this thing? It just shows how depraved society is. We think shame on her. She's loose. She's easy. She's a hooker. What about the guy that's stopping making it possible? Why is he any different? Do you think they're going to stand different before the Lord in that day? The man should be preaching Jesus to her, not using her. The man should be telling her truth, not seeing what he could get from her and how far down he can knock her price, weighing how high she is, how desperate she is, hearing that she's desperate, knocking her down, getting her to do something ridiculous for hardly nothing. You think about the depravity going on. That's the stuff I think about. Now I got a crack at her. See, she came to my window. I didn't even go after her. She came to me. She made a big mistake. I was preaching on a Sunday night when that happened. Yep. Somebody from the house that she was standing came and told me they couldn't find her in the middle of my great sermon. And I tell you, I was preaching good that night. I know it. I had to be. So I looked at John Leighton. Remember John? And I said, John, close out the service. Do whatever God tells you. Say whatever God says. But I got to leave. And I didn't say nothing. I just took off out the church. I went and looked. I said to that girl, I said, I'm looking for so-and-so. I said, listen, I grew up on these streets. I just grew up right over here. I named the street my whole life. I said, please don't play me. I said, just help me. I'm looking for so-and-so, and I know you know her. She said, why should I tell you? I said, because I love her, and it ain't some domestic thing. I know who she is like I know who you are. And neither of you belong out here. Please show me where she is. She said, well, I can take you to her. I said, jump in my truck. Never thought about it. I was putting a prostitute in my truck. Never dawned on me till the morning. In the morning, I was laying in my bed and I went, ho, okay, yeah. If I'd have thought about it, I wouldn't have did it. Never thought about it. If I'd have thought about it, I wouldn't have did it just because of avoid the appearance of evil. Because here's the raw truth without judging anybody. A super, super large percent of Christians that knew me in that day would have seen her get in my truck and me drive off isn't thinking, boy, he's going to minister to her. Bam. See? They're going to think, oh my gosh, Pastor Dan, not Pastor Dan. I love Pastor. He seems so real. He's so genuine. I've been understanding the God. He's been helping me grow. God's really used Pastor Dan. Oh my goodness. And now he's in the car with some, he's soliciting a prostitute on Pine Street. Ooh, I gotta call so and so. We gotta pray. By morning, half the town knows that she got in my truck, but nobody knows why. Nobody came to me. Nobody asked me. Nobody pulled me aside. Nobody said, hey, I saw her get in your truck. Why? What's going on? Help me, brother. My soul's spinning. See, what we do is believe the worst and pass it on. It's an indictment that we don't understand love because love doesn't think no evil. You know what love does? Man, I don't know what's going on, but that girl just made a big mistake. She got in Pastor Dan's truck. He ain't playing. Everything I know about him is surrendered Jesus, and he's for real, and something's going on, and he got some up his sleeve in the Holy Ghost, and she is going to get whacked by Jesus in a minute. That's what love would say. Gossip and humanism and secular thinking doesn't even consider that. Just says, ooh, let's make a talk show. Let's do a Dateline. Dig up the dirt. Well, there was no dirt to dig. She took me to my girl. I wouldn't drop her off on the corner. She didn't want me on the corner because she said if they see me get out of the truck and then you go back to her, they'll know I told and it'll come down on me. That's how you have to live in the shadows when you're messed up like that. I'm driving down the street. She says, you need to be more inconspicuous. You're too like... And I said, honey, I came out of the dark and shadows a long time ago.
Okay.
That's what I told her. So when I turned the corner, I said, well, where do you want me to take you? She said, just pull me in that alley. Well, how's she know that alley? There ain't a street light in that alley. Why? Why does she want to go in there? She's familiar with that alley. Why? That's where she takes the guys to pick her up. She takes them in that alley. They pull in there, do their thing. She jumps out, and they roll on. But she got me now. So we pull up. I ain't one bit afraid of that alley, sir. You say, well, you shouldn't have been in the truck with her. You need to talk to Jesus about that and be really careful with your quick opinion. I pulled in that alley. She asked me for a couple bucks for some cigarettes or something. I said, honey, I need to ask you a question. Why do you do what you do? For my babies. I'm trying to help my babies. I got to support my babies. I said, honey, you could work at Walmart to support your babies. You have an addiction. You're in trouble. I said, I really need to pray for you. And I started to cry. And this girl in front of my eyes freaked out. She said, why do you care so much? Why do you care about me? She's backed against the wall of my truck. Why do you care so much about me? I said, because I know who you are. You keep saying you know me. You don't know me. You ain't never met me. I said, let's go through it again. I just talked to her about Jesus, knowing her, predestined her, time to be born. Your life's not an accident. You know what happened to her? She fell into me and left me hold her in my truck. And we sobbed together as I prayed over her. Why? Because it was the first time in her life that she's ever been valued outside of what she had to give. It was the first time in her life she'd ever been loved. And she freaked out because she didn't even know it was on the earth. She's used to men using her, taking advantage of her, meeting their need through her. And keeping their own lie alive through her. And for the first time in her life, someone was looking through all that stuff and seeing somebody worth loving. And she didn't hardly know how to take it. 5 minutes in my truck and she was done. So I held her and I prayed with her. She's sweating profuse because she's all worked up. It's hot summer. I'm kissing her all over her forehead, over and over. I ain't one bit bothered by that. You say, that grosses me out. Fine. I'm kissing her forehead. You say, well, wonder if she got diseases. There ain't nothing in her getting in me. You think I'm in that position in the Holy Ghost and there's something in her body going to slip into mine. No, there's something in my body going to slip into hers.
Yep.
You got it backwards. You got it way wrong. Way wrong. I've jumped in car wrecks. I've watched cars crash and people fly. I've never seen it in my life till I was saved. And once I had something to offer, Jesus let me in on the moments. Probably 7 times I've watched cars crash and people fly. And I'm right there. I get back to my car. I got blood on me. I don't even know it in the moment. I got people hanging upside down, people convulsing on the road, and I'm just praying and doing what Jesus would do. You ain't thinking all this other stuff. You just clean it off and thank God and keep on going.
Yeah. Yay.
So I picked up a prostitute and it was legal. Jesus didn't mind at all. The trouble is, a large percentage of God's people would have had other views and would have had problems. That's a sad day. Because we'll go sing Holy is the Lamb and get excited about what we're singing instead of living that holy life. There's a higher place that He's calling us to, people. And ain't nothing I said tonight that you can't live if you wrap faith around. Apart from any challenge, circumstance, or person in your life. You say, well, you don't know what it's like living with my spouse. Well, if God said, you don't know what it's like enduring them. He doesn't endure you. He loves you. If you can't put your language in God's mouth, then don't let it fit yours. If you let your complaint, if it don't fit in God's language, then why is it in your vocabulary? You got every reason to run this race. He gave it to you. And he told you to run it well and never look back. There ain't one person in here that isn't invited, and there's not one person in here that can't. It's what separates belief and unbelief. It's what separates whether you're willing to lay down your life or live for it even in his name. When you stand before the Lord in that day, faith is not going to be revealed because you attended church and served in ministries. Faith is going to be revealed by the way you conducted and lived your life. Read your Bible. Your life will reveal what you believe, not your statements. Your life lived reveals what you give yourself to and believe. And if you just stay angry, then you've made your choice and you'll be seen as such. If you continue to have unresolved issues and conflicts with your spouse, then I guess you've made your choice. But Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. He said, don't you be conformed to the world. It's Romans 12:2. It's there. You be transformed by the renewing of your... You look the word up. Thinking like you never thought before. I learned anybody can have issues, but who's willing to love? It takes two to tango, one to make peace. My wife has no ability, even if she tried her hardest, but she's sweet and she won't. But if she tried, and she had her season a long time ago that I don't exploit a lot, but I talk about so people understand. I went 8 years with my wife where she lost her identity and wouldn't even come to church. And I lived almost as if I was single, even though I was married, because she was so far gone in lies and condemnation and shame. And I'm preaching identity all over the place, and I can't even reach the heart of my own wife because she says, you're supposed to tell me those things. She believed one lie. She said, people say hi to me because I'm with you. If I wasn't with you, they wouldn't even know I was in the room. And I'm like, what? And she believed it. You talk about a quick way to die in your identity. 8 years. You say 8 years, truth doesn't know time. When my wife's going through that, isn't she hurting? Is she deceived? What good's it do if I call pastor and say, pastor, you need to pray for me, man. I don't know how much more I can handle. I got so much on my plate, now my wife's even pushing, and I need her, and she's supposed to be my helpmate, and she sure ain't helping. And God don't break her soon. I'm about ready to break, dude. You got to pray, because if something don't happen, man, I'm done. I can't do this much longer. That is a normal conversation when I pastored. People would call me and say that stuff, even though I preach the way I do. And then I would say, well, wait a minute, let's back up. And then I would try to, like, bring them into the light. Hello? Luke knows. I talk straight with everybody. Not because it's my theology, it's my life. I went through those 8 years with her, and it wasn't a challenge. I was privileged to love. If I wake up needing her, I'm already failed. Then she's my reason for not being like Jesus. That's idolatry. That's making her greater than truth. Oh, I'm preaching right now. So let me ask you a question. Does my wife need help? Is she in trouble? Would you say she really needs Jesus right now? Well, he happens to live in me. So now's not the time to be a frustrated husband because I'm analytical or worldly minded. Did God ever give up on me? Then why would I change my mind about her? Hello? You be honest with me. Oh, I feel the uneasiness in the room. We've let each other matter more than him. Let's just be real. Spouses, we're notorious at this. I used to do it before I knew Jesus. I haven't done it even remotely since I know Jesus. We do silent treatments to each other. We convey our mood, our happiness, our displeasure by body language and silent treatments in our marriages. Hey, honey. Hey. What's wrong, Mom? And you get real bland and dull and emotionless, and then you get them crawling. What's the matter, honey? And you just pull them along. It's control and manipulation. It's self-centeredness. It's everybody's losing. It means you're supposed to die already. And get a grip and get right with God. Is that okay for straight preaching? Because if that thing stays alive, bleh, if that's all you got to live for, people doing it the way you need it, expect, do you think there's one person on the earth that was given the job description to meet your need? To serve you and scratch your itch? Where did you get the idea? Not from Jesus who laid down his life. Somehow, in the Christian church in America, we somehow, over the years, got the idea that even God's here to serve us. That's why people are mad at him. It's a dead giveaway. If you'd be humble in this room with the amount of faces I see, you'd be amazed if you were honest. If I'd ask a question and really ask you to class participate and not hold back, and I'd say, how many of you have lived in seasons where you were mad at God? You'd be amazed how many hands would raise, because it's a dead giveaway that somehow we think he's here to serve us and he failed us. So we're not even in covenant or relationship. He just better do what I need him to do or we got issues. Well, if you're living that way toward God, don't tell me you're not living that way towards everybody else. So now your children are failing you, your spouse is failing you. Next thing you know, nothing's fair and nobody's giving you a break and everybody, and I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for the hellhole place I have to live in. Come on. Ain't that something? See, isn't it awesome when you talk so simple and plain that there's nowhere to hide? You know what I asked Jesus a long time ago? I said, if I'm going to travel and preach in front of people, I'm asking you to do, please do something for me for the sake of everybody that would come. When I'm done speaking, let a man only have two choices. You say, why not one? Because you have a will. He doesn't make you a robot. He gives you choices. I said, let a man only have two choices, or a woman. If they heard what I said, if they were in the room, let them have two choices. Wow, I hear what you're saying, Dan. And I want it. Or, oh, I hear what you're saying. I just don't want it. But please, God, don't let them say. What's he saying? Yeah. There ain't nobody sitting here that can't understand. It's too clear. It's too simple. I'm talking plain language. There ain't nobody sitting here going, huh? No, you're either going, wow. People that don't... You'd be amazed in a room this size how many people don't want to become loved. They want to hold on to rights that were never theirs. How do you deny yourself as a Christian and have so many rights? So we haven't denied ourselves at all. Yeah. Pastoral counsel. 90-some percent of pastoral counsel is people having trouble with people because of stuff and issues and expectations and failures and disappointments. True? Well, if you denied yourself, how do you have all these rights? When you deny yourself, you die to everything you are to obtain one right, to be like him. That's a Christian, Christ-like, Christian. Sorry, I got to act goofy so it sticks. Don't make me act so goofy. Just say, okay. Thank you. I can get normal again. I was freaking out there. I was like, did you get it? I just don't know where we ever got the idea other than this self-centered thing has more of a root than we realize. I talk about living by faith and not feelings. People say, well, Dan, God gave us emotions, not the emotions you grew up with God didn't give you. Where'd you ever get the idea that the way you grew up is what God made? That's what Adam made. Wow. Your emotions that you grew up with have nothing to do with what God created you to house and express. Why? Because all your emotions flowed out of a self-centered wellspring without you even knowing what was happening. Who had to study and nail jealousy? Who had to work on frustration and really master it? How about self-consciousness? How about disappointment? Who had to read books and practice disappointment? All these things come from the perspective you live by. So the reason behind your life, the why behind your life, your reason for being determines your expression. So Jesus said, if your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. He didn't say, of course, unless you're challenged with many. Of course, unless the person you knew would never do you wrong, just did you wrong. He said, no. If you see clear, you'll live clear. The eye's the lamp of your body. Your perspective will determine you. So if you wake up for you, it'll be evident. If you wake up for His kingdom, it'll be evident. If you slip over into you and you started well, and you slip over into you because you're purposing kingdom, you slip in. Woo! Warning, you see it for what it is and you run back to God. You don't run and hide. You don't say, oh, I blew it. Oh, I'm condemned. I should have known better. I'll never get this. Stop. You run back to God and let Him keep empowering you and thank Him for the truth that's changing your life. You with me?
Yeah.
I determined a long time ago. I said earlier, I'm not going to let one man decide who I am and how I am if his name's not Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. When I woke up this morning, it's already settled in my heart. You didn't owe me a thing from the time this day started. And I owe no man anything but to love. And love fulfills the law because it does no harm to a neighbor. Romans 13. Are you with me? 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment is love. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you guys a new commandment. He said, actually, it's not a new commandment. It's what you had from the beginning. Love one another. What do you mean you had it from the beginning? Way back in the beginning when God said, let us make man in our image, what did He do? He made man to love. Adam got cut off from the source of love, became in need of love. We were born into Adam. You must be born again. Somehow we turned that into a beneficiary prayer that takes me to heaven instead of transformed and restored back to the beginning.
Yep. Right.
God made man to look like something and to live like something that looks just like Him. A lot of people don't even believe it's possible because we lord our own past experience over His grace. And we think who we've been is greater than who He's empowering us to be. Yeah, but nobody's going to be perfect, brother. Well, you can't tell me that you were. Everybody's going to have their moments. No, that's why you have yours, friend. Because that's still your belief system. So you have a platform and the plane can land anytime it wants. You got a runway. You take away the runway, the plane can't land. Where's my little pilot buddy that I met today?
Where is he? He's here. There he is. I spotted you, man. You couldn't hide from the Holy Ghost. I was like, Lord. I was like, Lord. Now watch this. If you got nowhere to land the plane, nowhere to land the plane, this is simple. Your perspective is a landing strip for things. If you take away the landing strip, the thing can't come in and land anymore. If he's flying the plane and there's absolutely nowhere to land, he's going to have to circle, fly, circle. Oh, yeah, it might still buzz for a while. You might still get impressions. Hey, it's still here. You might still have an awareness. But sooner or later, God forbid, this plane's going to run out of gas and it's coming down. And when it comes down, it ain't going to fly no more. Now, that's not going to be his scenario. But that's what would happen if you couldn't land the plane. Sooner or later, it's coming down and it ain't going to be perfect. What would happen if you change some things in your perspective and them old planes couldn't come in no more? And all of a sudden they had nowhere to land.
And all they could do is buzz around the airport a little bit and say, hey, this is so familiar. I landed here 50 times before. This runway's closed. I ain't got nowhere to come in. And next thing you know, because you're submitting to God and resisting the devil, he'll flee. That thing comes down and it is no more. Ain't that something? Come on. I don't think, I honestly don't believe that we have as many problems as we think. I think we have an amazing answer. I don't think we should be trouble conscious and problem driven. I think we should be crushed in us the hope of glory. I think we have one amazing answer. So what do you say?
Are you in? You want to live this thing? Or do you want to debate it a little or fight over it or decide if you agree and cast your vote? Here's what I can tell you. If whatever you're settling on isn't producing life, then it can't be Him. Because He came to give you life and life even more abundantly. And if what you're believing isn't encouraging your heart and sending you forward, it can't be Him. So you got some real healthy barometers to look at. Yeah? So why don't you be just to your own life, your own heart, your own conscience? And say, man, if I'm holding on to this and it ain't producing life, watch this. Not because I'm needing to be right. I could even be wrong when I say this. If I'm even wrong all night long, if what I'm saying makes you mad and you feel bothered by me, or are you done yet? You just feel aggravated by me. That's a warning signal. You're a million miles from God, because I don't even have to be right, and you shouldn't feel that way. You should hurt for me, feel sorry for me. You should pray for me if I'm lost. You know how quick it is to us to get agitated with each other? You know how we've lived by first impressions? We walk in a room and decide who we like, who we don't, who we'll get close to, and who we'll avoid. That's a sign you don't know Jesus like we sing.
Because He would never do that. Would He? He wouldn't. Man, He hung around the tax collectors. He went to Nicodemus' house. He touched the religious. He touched the sinners. He took time with everybody. He went to Matthew. He called Matthew out. He's collecting money. He's a tax collector. Matthew! He said, follow me. He said, what are you doing? You're an idiot. You're taking money from your own people and you're working on behalf of the Roman government. What are you doing, man? Follow me. He goes to Matthew's house and chills out. He goes to Nicodemus' house. He goes to Zacchaeus' house, the wee little man that sat in a tree. You ever sing that song, right? Zacchaeus, the wee little man. He was up in a tree. He said, come down. I'm going to your house today. Woo! I think Jesus loves everybody without becoming like them. I mean, He went to the extremes. He's loving the lady who was fresh in adultery. Why? Because He doesn't see her as an adulteress. He sees her for her potential purpose. He knows why He's here, to redeem life, to restore purpose. So He's not going to judge her as an adulteress when she's about to become so much more in Him. These stories are amazing. It shows us how He lived. And He said, follow me. We ought to understand what we're following. Hey, do you know? Yeah, I know Johnny. Yeah, I remember Johnny. When's the last time you seen him? Well, I ain't seen him for 4 years, but I'll never forget. Blah, 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 blah. And it's the worst thing you could remember about Johnny 4 years later. I assure you that's not Jesus. Because you don't even know. Johnny might have fell on his face, cried bitter tears. And Johnny might be filled with the Spirit and tearing it up for the kingdom, and you're still remembering what he was. Yeah? It's funny how I remember. You remember stuff. Luke's sitting here, because he used to go, I used to pastor a church he attended, but I remember using you as an example one night about that in a service. And you were sitting there. I said, Luke could have this and this and this. I put something on him. I said, you ain't seen Luke for 2 years, man, but you hear Luke's name, and the first thing you think about is what Luke did that you didn't appreciate, and that locates where you're at spiritually. And you got your eyes so fixed on what Luke wasn't that you've missed becoming like him. And I said, the whole time Luke could have cried and repented, and he could be filled with God's Spirit and commune with God, and all you can see is what he did wrong in your eyes. And you've missed what he's become. It's just real. Yeah? You guys good?
Yeah.
I feel like I preached forever. Did I get up here early or something? Or did God just stop the... I've always wanted him to do the Joshua thing for me and just stop time. Because I feel like I have the greatest anointing on the earth to eat time. Like time just goes... And I'm like, what? Tonight I feel like I preached like forever. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, is it that early? But I usually don't... I'm never done. I just stop. No, it's true. It's true. But honestly, because I've never had, Mr. Pilot, I've never had the control tower come into my little thing and say, bring it in, Darren. You're next. You're in line. There's the runway. Come right on in. I don't know how they talk, but I've never heard the runway. I mean, sometimes I can see the runway. I've never heard, one time in my whole life, I've never heard the control tower say, bring it in. He just leaves me there and I just stop. I never landed in my life. I don't think I ever landed. I never landed. People teach how to land in a sermon, how to throw the net. God's been throwing the net from the time I opened my mouth.
Yeah.
We're strategic in our preaching. You could tell I didn't preach a sermon, right? I just talk in my heart. You know what's awesome? He taught me to never go outside of what I know in him and what I've lived and what I've been in him.
There you go.
That's why I'm so passionate and that's why I'm confident. Because I'm preaching my life, not my theology.
Wow.
Not my doctrine. It's my everyday love walk with him. Almost 24 years ago, he changed my life. And I'll never be the same. I feel as passionate today as I ever was, and people used to say I was crazy passionate. Was I passionate back then? Don't think I haven't been challenged with life. Don't think that we... Peter said, brothers, don't be deceived. Your brothers all over the earth are going through the same things you are. Don't be deceived. Don't build a personal case to find yourself less than what he paid. Are you with me? You already live by faith. I can feel it now. I feel excited in the room right now. And I feel done, which is crazy. I never feel done. I feel done. Like done. You guys watch me on YouTube, you're like, yeah, right. Half hour from now, we'll see. But I do. I feel done. Can we pray for the sick? You be okay if we pray for the sick? I know we're skipping a beat here, but really not. Redemption is praying for the sick. New life through Jesus is redemption. Walking in love is redemption. Praying for the sick is redemption. It's what he paid for. He's the Redeemer. So how about if we pray for the sick? Can we do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do this way. And he's not asking me to pray for the sick. He's not telling me to pray for the sick. Feel like I want to because I understand the gospel and it's always the heart of God. So when I'm saying, can we pray for the sick? I have permission. He's not saying no. You have a yes unless you hear no. We're always waiting for a yes. The gospel is yes and amen.
Should I go pray for them?
Yes! You see somebody standing on the corner and you're like, man, I feel like I should go talk to them. Lord, do you really want me to go talk to them? Man, I feel like, no? Okay, no? Don't talk to them. It's a yes and amen gospel. We're looking for a yes and our own apprehensions are the no that we think we're hearing. It's yes. People say, how do you do your schedule? You get so many invites. How do you pick where you want to go? The Lord said, I can go anywhere I want to have a yes unless I hear no. He said, everybody matters and every place matters. And if I want you somewhere specific, I'll let you know. I'll make it known to your heart. But you can go wherever you want to go.
We don't realize we have that privilege when our hearts are pure. We have more of a privilege in the will of God than I think we realize. You say, who am I supposed to marry? I've learned it's actually rare where God actually handpicks couples. I've seen it, but it's rare. You find a wife, you find a good thing, make sure you're filled with the Spirit of God and make sure out of the fullness of God in your life, you're taking a wife. Because in the Bible, there was no woman until the fullness of God was found in the man. So if there's a woman in a man's life, it ought to be because of the fullness of God, not need or time. Or he's a hunk and she's hot, or I'm lonely and I'd like to have kids soon, and I guess he'll do. Just saying! Or I'm hurt by him and he said what I needed to hear, so hey. Or she left me and I'm mad and she wants me, so yay. Come on! No, no, no. Out of the fullness of God in the man, he brought forth the woman. So if there's a woman in a man's life, it ought to be because of the fullness of God in the man. So that's where we should be growing, right? Because how can you love if you're not filled with God's Spirit? So what would it look like if two people actually come together and get to know one another out of the fullness and strength of God in their life instead of just their need and their emotions towards one another? Because that's where it gets scary and yucky. That's where it gets crazy and up and down. But when it's really, I love you. Whew. Because that's all I love you ever says. It doesn't say, do you love me? It just says, I love you. And that's all it ever says. Because when you say, do you love me? You're saying, I need you. I love you for what you do for me. And it's not love at all. That's caused more pain than blessing on the planet. That one little lie right there. You guys okay?
Yeah.
See, I thought I was done. It's your fault. This has been the weather. Line her up right now. She's messing me up. And enjoying me. Let's pray for the sick. When you pray for the sick, I've learned this. Who's ever prayed for the sick? Okay, I got some people. Good. Who's ever prayed for the sick, and when you went to pray for the sick, you got more conscious about what you were going to say and pray, and it became a self-conscious moment, and you tried to sound spiritual, pray powerful, and create a move of God? Should be as many hands as the first question. So that's a real good reason why we get nothing a lot. But we're trying to turn it into theology. Well, God sometimes, well, he doesn't always. Well, look, we prayed and God didn't, so he must have da 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 da. Stop. The book's written. You find God through Jesus' life, not your experience. And if your experience doesn't measure up to Jesus' life, then challenge your experience. Don't change the word. Please don't change his word and make your word, his word, fit your experience. Right. Keep pressing in until your experience fits his word. Very important what I just said. I hope you got it. Jesus said, when you see me, you've already seen him. So the Father's already revealed through the Son. So we find God through the life of Jesus Christ. So where sickness has been concerned, you look at Jesus in healing, you look at his life, you look at the way he responded, the things he said, and you find truth because he's the truth. And if your experiences in your life doesn't see the same fruit result, that just means we need to grow up into him in all things, not change our mind about what we believe. Some of us have a hard time, I'm not being mean, I'll look up so you don't think I'm talking to you. Some of us have a hard time taking authority over our attitude. And we want to see the supernatural. And question when it doesn't flow. When you pray for the sick and you get self-conscious and try to pray hard and pray right, that's the sure way to stop all the momentum of what he paid for in the kingdom of God, because then it'll slowly become your works, your prayer. All of a sudden you're the prayer warrior. All of a sudden everybody's trying to pattern you, and now you're teaching on how to pray, and it's all of a sudden it's you saying the right thing instead of believing the right thing.
As soon as you shift into works, you stop with the, everything stops. Okay? When you pray for the sick, here's good news. This is good news. This isn't sarcastic. This is good news. The Lord told me to share this everywhere I go when we pray for the sick. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's your faith in His finished work and His love for the person.
That's right.
It's not your prayer. Your prayer heals no one. Watch. Be whole. Be healed in Jesus' name. When there's a revelation, be healed in Jesus' name. It's a declaration. You're saying what you see. Versus, Father, I just thank you. And now you're quoting a couple of scriptures to stir yourself up. And you remember one time in your bedroom, you quoted this song, God's Spirit touched you, and now you're doing that. And when you're done, then the other person says, let me try something. And then they pray something that stirs them up. And I'm just saying, I've been around us. So tonight it's going to be real simple. It's going to be fun. It's going to be simple. It's going to be fun. Jesus is going to do what Jesus does. He's going to change things in this room and bodies. How's that for confidence? Now, I already said that, so I believe that with all my heart. It has nothing to do with me. I can make that statement because it's Him. It's who He is. I'm bearing witness on His behalf. It's just His nature. Now, when you see it and you believe it, it invites His very nature in that arena.
Yeah.
There's people in this room, you got conditions and things in your body that if you were healed, you wouldn't necessarily know it right now. You wouldn't have anything to, without exaggeration, without the music slamming, which I love music, but I'm going to make it as dry as I can make it tonight before we pray. On purpose. As dry. We're so atmospheric. Shut up, right? And then we're ready. You're walking through the parking lot and they're hobbling and hurting, and you get to their car, you don't have these awesome guys with you. Sometimes you're nervous, sometimes you're wondering if they're going to think you're nuts. Sometimes you just got to press through all that and be a Christian Nike commercial and just do it. Right? And when you get there, you just need to know that He loves them. And He encouraged you to step out in His Word, so that's why you're over here. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't be here. And you're trusting that He would show up because He loves them. And the fact that you're there means you love Jesus, you care enough about them, and you're willing to lay it all down no matter what anybody thinks. And then you just say, hey, wow, you really hurt me. You need help to your car. Da, da, da. You just make conversation. And you say, kid, listen, would you mind if I do something? You can say, I'm honest most of the time with people. I tell them right out of the gate what I want to do so they don't think I had something on my sleeve. But when I do it the other way, I use discernment. I've never gotten in trouble. Nobody wants me in the mouth. But usually I just say, listen, oh my goodness, honestly, I want to pray with you. And I say, please don't say no. I actually compel them. I say, please don't say no.
Wow.
Man, I see you're hurting. Don't say no. Like, if something changes, that would be amazing. If nothing changes, you have what you had before we prayed. So you have nothing to lose. Please don't say no. I care enough to ask you. Please, I believe you can change you right now. Well, sometimes when you discern not to do that because they have enough Christian background to say no, they're warned about people like me. Week after week. So all you do is say, man, can I just hear him for a minute? This is, you're going to love this. And they think you're going to read their palm. And when they hold out their hand, all you do is just touch them very light. Father, I thank you for your amazing unstoppable love. Sickness, you leave, pain, you go, Jesus. And you pray in about 4 seconds. You don't. Father, I just thank you that the whole way back your blood goes into their generations. And I see their great great grandfather right now. That time he drank that bottle and beat it. Stop! 4 or 5 seconds. They're already uncomfortable. They're already freaked out when you're praying. And they're already wondering what you're doing, wondering how they got into this. Most of the time. You keep it real short because you're the blessing. I'll freak them out. But tonight we're going to keep it short because we don't want people self-conscious. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray real quick, but it won't be without effect, and we're not making light of your situation. For the first group, I want you to just, we'll do this quicker than I normally do it, different than I normally do it. I feel to do it this way. If you have a condition in your body and you were healed tonight, there'd be no way to tell it anyway, because it's something that comes or goes. You need tested. You need proof positive through the course of time. Who would that be? You have some kind of condition in your body like that. Please participate. If that's you, don't not raise your hand. Let's not come this far and then back out. Because I'm telling you, God means business, and I'm excited about it. Yeah? Raise your hand if that's you. You have a condition in your body. If you were healed, there'd be no way to physically check, test. There's nothing symptomatic. There's no way to know other than simple faith in your heart. Okay? Keep your hand up high. People, look around at their hands. Just look around the room. And fix your eye on somebody. If you're sitting near somebody, tap them and say, hey, I'm believing with you right now. Just tap them, hey, I'm with you right now. I'm going to believe. And all I want you to do is begin to say, don't even ask them what's wrong. Just say, be healed in Jesus' name. Yep, no symptoms ever return. No repercussion. This thing never show up again in your lives, Father. Every person, raise their hand. We just pray across the board. Say it over them right now. Be whole. In Jesus' name. Never again another symptom or another trace of what they raised their hand concerning. Because you love them, Father. If you raised your hand, just believe he loves you right now, and he never sent his son. You say, well, if he loved me, why do I have this condition? No, no, no. If he didn't love you, he'd never send his son. Don't ask the wrong questions. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Tonight when you leave here and you were prayed for that, you think about that in your heart. You thank God. You say, thank you for loving me for what you're doing in my life. I am not expecting that to ever reoccur.
Amen.
Father, if I get another test, I thank you. You'll find it there. It's not there. Whatever. If you need to go get a test, get a test. I'm telling you, it sounds so simple, but when we start putting our trust back in what he did,
yes,
and not what we can do,
yes,
it's amazing what happened.
Yes.
So the second group would be who? If you were healed, you would know it. Right? That one's always fun. Can I tell you the number one reason Christians don't pray for each other sometimes? Like the number one reason why men don't pray for each other or Christians don't pray for the sick? They're afraid nothing will happen. Number one reason. So because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't step out and pray. So guess what they always have? What they're afraid of.
Oh, wow.
So what are they protecting? Themselves.
Yeah.
So die already. Yes. He said, man, that service was great. I went to die, man. I died all the way through that service. How's the service? I died. Yay! Because you can't live until you die. That's why we were baptized. It's a sign of death to yourself. It's not an ordinance to qualify. It's a sign of death. It's not the next step on the salvation list. It's symbolic. Death, burial, resurrection. Die in the likeness of his death so I can raise in the newness of life. Yay. You're a good pastor like me. You hold him down to every bubble stop. So you make sure. I have faith for it. I'm doing it, man. About 40 seconds after the last push, you got new life. I'm telling you, it'll stick way better than a quick dip. That quick dip, sometimes they don't stick. You got it. I'm kidding. Don't let anybody do that and say, damn set. Who has a condition in your body? If you were healed tonight, you would definitely know, because you could, without hype, without exaggeration, you could check it and you would know. Your body would tell you if it was gone or if it was changed. Who has a condition? Anything. It could be hearing, sight, physical, joints, back, shoulders, be cancerous tumor popping out. It could be anything. Raise your hand. Stand to your feet if you can. If there's anybody that can't stand and you want prayer, make sure I see you. I just don't know if you're in the room. Just stand, please. Stand to your feet. Good, you guys are participating. Do we have everybody? Don't anybody hold out on me. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a pretty good fisherman. Seriously, we didn't start last week at the church I was at, the ministry I was at the recovery center. God wanted one man to stand that wasn't standing, so he just kept giving me little words of knowledge till the boy finally cried and stood. And you know why he didn't stand? He's raised Baptist his whole life, and he was freaked out and said, I was taught to never be a part of anything like this, and I was scared of what was happening, and I didn't want to stand. And when you made it so obvious through those words, it freaked me out. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I finally stood up and he just started weeping. He was healed like that. Really?
Amen.
Like that.
That was so fun. I said, buddy, you're probably already healed.
Do we got everybody? Everybody. Okay. Here's what I need you to do. You're not worshiping God right now. You're just identifying yourself. I need you to just raise one hand high so we know who you are and where you're at. Here's why. The people sitting, I'm setting you up. You didn't know I was doing this, man. The people sitting, you're my prayer team. I need you to please cooperate. If you're uncomfortable, I want you on my team, for sure. Because you're not going to rely on yourself. If you're nervous, be on the roster. If you're saying, I don't believe in healing, I really want to hire you. Okay? So get up out of your seats. Keep your hands up till somebody claims you. Do not pray yet for anybody. Just claim them. Have fun with it. Break the ice. Say, hey, I never did this before. I'm claiming you. Go claim somebody. Find somebody. As soon as they find you, put your hand down. When you're accounted for, put your hand down. The only hands I want up is if people are still finding you. Everybody put your hand down if they already found you. Look around for hands up. Help me, people. Don't tag team if I need help. Don't like two on one if I need help. I got a man and a lady over here. Yay, guys, you're awesome. And I got, wow, she's covered. Is there anybody not covered? Oh, there's a lady here. She's hard to see, little thing. Jesus sees you, honey. He's like, you got a better view than all of us. You need prayer too? Right here. Raise your hand high, honey, so people see you. Do I have one person that could go stand with her? You got it? Thank you. You guys are great. Look how easy we did this. Okay, now here's the deal. Nobody can mess up because we're only going to pray. I'm only going to give you like 6 seconds to pray. And I'm going to tell you to stop. It's for you, so nobody gets in trouble. Nobody has to be uncomfortable. Nobody ought to get self-conscious or get into works or try to pray. It's the biggest trap when we pray to the sick. We try to pray the perfect prayer, the powerful prayer. So take 3 seconds. This isn't your 6 second prayer. Just take 3 seconds. Guys that stood up, the girls and guys that stood up for prayer, give them the 3 second version. Tell your person what you stood for, if it's not too personal, if you can tell them. Give them a 3 second version. Just say, I got herniated discs in my back. I got arthritis all through my body. I can't see out of my left eye. Whatever. 3 seconds. You should know. You got it? Everybody good? You guys are amazing. You're one of the best houses I've seen yet with this. You guys are on point. You're way quicker than me. Okay. So you all know what you're praying for. Okay. So let's just say that somebody said, I have arthritis in every joint of my body. It just aches me all the time right now. I feel a throbbing. They told you that. When you pray, 6 seconds. I'll give you an example. You can do this in 4 seconds. Father, I thank you for your love for them. That's what I say sometimes in the beginning. Sometimes I say it in the end. I feel like in my own heart, you don't have to do it, that we miss the revelation of God's love often. We're driven by need more than we're moved by love. Faith works through love, not need. So let's just do it this way. I'll say, ready, go. In a minute here, I'll say that. And here's what you do. Arthritis, you leave their body. Every trace, every form, every pain, come out and never return. Father, thank you because you love them. In Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that in 6 seconds? Mm-hmm. It sounds way too simple, but it's not simple. You ask Jesus if it was simple. He had to get Holy Spirit to put him in a woman, fulfill everything man failed, die unjustly, and raise from the dead by the Spirit of holiness, put his blood on the mercy seat, now sit triumphant at the right hand of God and make intercession for people. It wasn't simple. He paid a crazy, amazing price to make this moment possible. Mm-hmm. And he likes it when we believe him. Mm-hmm. He really, really likes what I'm looking at right now. Mm-hmm.
He lights you up out of your chair, getting past yourself, believing in 6 seconds he's going to do something special for the person you're standing with. He likes that.
Yes. Here's what we're going to do. You know the situation. You're going to pray specifically because Matthew 17 says, if you have faith, you'll say to the mountain, move. And the mountain what?
Move.
Arthritis you mean? Herniated disc, you be complete, the whole rotator cuff, you be healed. Shoulder, you work, you bend, you flex. And Jesus said, whatever applies, nail it in 6 seconds or less. Trusting that it's God that does the work.
Yeah.
You're just representing His will and proclaiming it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
After 6 seconds, I'm going to say, okay, guys, wind it up, wrap it up. And when I say wrap it up, Father, thank you that you love them. In Jesus' name, we hope. Before you check your body, if you're being prayed for, in your heart, just be thanking Him that He loves you and believe for you to never put His Son on the cross. And then at some point after those 6 seconds and you reflect on God's love, you go ahead and sincerely, without exaggeration, check your body and we'll find out what's going on, okay? I don't want you making anything up. I don't want you trying to make the person that prayed for you feel good. That's called lying.
Yeah.
I read in Revelations, I think it's in chapter 19, it says, if you lie, you fry. Just say it. We don't want lying here to protect someone. Listen, because faith isn't a point in time anyway. It's a position of the heart. So if you lay hands on the sick, they recover. We just fear so much stuff, man. So when you pray for the sick, you're releasing the kingdom of God. I'll just tell you, 3 things are going to happen in this room probably. I wish the last one wouldn't happen, but it does, but it doesn't change truth. People are going to be instantly healed when we pray. You'll see people that are somewhat healed, and they feel noticeably better, but not 100%. And there's people that say, I feel the same. Now, we'll probably pray for that group one more time, and it'll be cool and fun, and you'll see. But it's all the same faith. And the thing is, no matter what your response, don't let go and unhook. If people are going, oh my goodness, I'm healed, and you're going, well, I ain't. Don't say, well, see, I know I'm going to stand up every time I pray for it. Nothing ever changes. I don't know. I'm healed. I don't know. Stop tonight. Stop. Listen to testimonies. Stay connected to the love of God. Listen to testimonies. Rejoice in that testimony and thank God He's a healer and that He's doing things in people's lives and He's touching your body as well. And check your body again. Hear another testimony. Thank you, God. Check your body again. I've been in services like this where it's like popcorn. Body's just changing. About 3-4 minutes after everybody prayed, we're testifying, we're listening. Melanie's in the room, face rising, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, ah, ah, and it just pop, 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 pop. It's just beautiful. You're going to see just what He does.
It's about God.
Because He loves you. You ready?
Yes.
You didn't forget what you're praying for, right? Okay. Just ask Him. Look them in the eyes real quick and make them feel really uncomfortable. Like, look at them like they're really special. Like, give them that Jesus died for you look, you know what I mean? Are you ready? Are you ready? 6 seconds. You ready?
Yes.
Go ahead. Pray for your person.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you opened the spirit of my mind and the spirit of my heart and opened my heart to really hear you.
Okay, start wrapping that up.
My mother's hand is totally lined up so she can look perfect and lined up.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for the community.
Good, wrap it up.
Thank you, Lord.
Because He loves them. Receive His love. Thank Him He loves you before you even check your body.
I thank you,
just
thank you.
Thanks, God. Isn't it great we have this privilege to start believing God? Now, we prayed for you. Every one of you that stood said, you know, if you could start checking your bodies right now, really check them and be sure. Be sure. I just don't want quick answers and yay, I'm not looking for numbers. I want you healed. You understand? Check your bodies. As soon as you know you're changed, as soon as you know it's healed, let me know. Let us know. Check it. Let us know. As soon as you find out. Check it. Really check it. Thank God when you're checking. Don't be like, oh man, I'm having it. Thank you, Father. You know you're changed? Good.
You know?
Good. You guys are doing it right. You're taking your time and making sure.
You know too? Now you just realize? Okay. What's up with this side of the room? I'm anointed? You guys rock in the Holy Ghost. No, no. We all rock on this team. Yeah? He said, we ain't playing that. We're coming to this side. Yeah? For sure? You know. For sure. Who else? Who else? Let me see. I just feel like you need to take check. Anybody else? Anybody else? Who wants to testify? Who raised their hand? Who raised their hand and wants to tell us what happened? You know you're healed?
Partially.
Okay, okay, we'll get to you in a second. Who just knows they're healed? You raised your hand, it's changed. Back there? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, hang on, guys. I was clapping and stuff, but let me ask you, just so we understand. There was no way you'd have been able to see them strings? Before she prayed. This one big blur, like a solid mass of the distinguishing of the string. No way, before she played, would you have seen them string. And you see them string. And you don't even have your glasses on. Oh, goodness, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. You feel total relief. So you got two for the price of one son. Yeah. Who prays for you? Is that right? Are you telling me Jesus lives in you? Are you telling me Jesus lives in you?
I believe it.
But see, we can do this. Amen? Ma'am, right here. Yes, you raised your hand. She couldn't do that? She couldn't put her leg up like that? Yeah, see, I'm not playing devil's advocate. I want us to understand this is a big deal. That's a big deal. When's the last time you were able to take your leg and do so? That almost hurt me when you did that. What did you do?
10 years ago.
When it happened, you've had no mobility like that since then. And 1 6-second prayer, you checked your leg and it came up.
Wow.
God. Maybe I gave her like $50 before the service started to make me look good. Make Jesus look good. I don't even know you. I've never even met you. No. Well, I would have never done it. But people say this stuff. See, here's the thing that's so wretched about unbelief. There's no amount of convincing that's good enough for unbelief.
Right?
Unbelief is a wretched, the Bible calls it evil thing. Evil. We have lived in so many lives of unbelief. And the Bible says it's a wicked, evil heart. Well, I know they really say, well, I know she can make that. Well, I know. Well, I need to see that. No, you're in unbelief, and there ain't no change for that, except for belief. See, because there's no explanation good enough when you don't believe, but there's none necessary when you do. Who else wants to testify what happened? Sir, and I didn't even see you raise your hand. Did this happen just... Oh, okay.
No, I should not walk.
You were on oxygen a while ago. Right? Yeah. Right. So it's changed dramatically. You still feel some effects.
Oh yeah.
But you feel much better.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here. Stretch your hands to him. Start praying, church. Believe for his total restoration. This is good.
No, right now,
no, that's beautiful.
His grief.
Oh, there's Jesus more than hope for you, sir.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Be completely made whole.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Yeah? Fullness of breath.
Yes, Lord.
Total ability, as if yes. It never happened, as if it never was. In Jesus' name, be whole. Yes. Believe it with me, church.
Amen.
Yeah, condition never returned.
Yes, Lord.
Gone, God. Completely whole.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Can I hug you? Don't get used to that kind of stuff. Don't get familiar.
No.
I live this way. I pray for people all the time in my personal life. In the church, I get you all to pray. Because I'm not here to line you up and flow with my gift, and that's not doing you injustice. All you'd say at the end is, Bob, he's in the faith. Mm. And then you'd have to get me to come back to pray.
Good
for
word.
You.
Good word.
The last thing I do is preach and minister. I train and equip and promise. But you sit beside me on the plane, you'll probably get my gift. Anybody else?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to get to her quick because she just shot her hand up. Yes.
Well, I lost my hearing in this ear two months ago. They took us gave me steroids, and the steroids damaged my ear. And they said I was deaf. And I can push that thing in, and I can hear a noise now where I couldn't hear.
You had no sense of hearing in there? Have you been able to go out, like close one ear and check and see if you can hear sound, voices?
Yeah, I tried to talk in my ear and I still couldn't hear the words.
Okay. But you feel like something's...
But before, you know, when you...
Something's coming alive, or you just feel like something's different.
Before you could push on this and there's no noise whatsoever.
Okay.
Now there's some noise.
I'm following you. But she did talk and you didn't hear no words?
No.
Cover your other ear real tight. And that's the other ear. This ear is the one that you couldn't hear out of. Just whisper to her. Talk to her again softly or whisper. Okay, you're not hearing that? Okay. Stretch your hands, guys. Let's pray. Young lady, are you standing with her? Yeah, put your hand over here. Just say ear to ear. Just talk. Just speak to God about that. Ear to ear. Whatever makes sense to your heart, just release that. Yeah. That's right. Sound of sound come into her ear. Father, thank you for restoring her right now. Because you love us. That lady, for I can. In Jesus' name. Yeah? Go ahead, talk to her again. Just see what she hears now. Just talk to her.
I heard you sung that part.
You hear her now? See, you can't see her, but now she's crying. See? Now, the only reason she's crying is because she ain't making it up. When you couldn't hear it, now you can hear it, it'll make you cry. Did you hear something that time? Talk to her some more. Talk.
Talk to my ear.
I just might get excited before the night's out. I might get a little fired up. Anybody else want to share what's going on in your body? Check your body.
So I'm a cancer survivor. I've had throat cancer and had massive amounts of radiation. And in the last couple months, I've been experiencing some real pain and cramping from that. And I can honestly say I'm feeling it hasn't felt as good in months. So I especially had a problem here, and that's just painful.
Man, that's good. No discomfort whatsoever in that area.
It hasn't felt this good in a long time, dude. So.
Check the bodies. If nothing changed yet, still check them. Because in this area, there's going to change. What happened, honey?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a degenerating disc in my back, and my neck is basically straight. And so the first time we prayed, I didn't really feel it, so I just
thank you.
Like listening, the more I heard people, the more like my back started to pop, and then I'm like, okay, it's
just you're feeling it now, huh?
And the affirmation for me was when I got here, I was like, okay, Lord, deaf ears here and blind see, and I'm not saying that because like, oh, I prayed for those things.
No, that's what a heart.
Because she can hear.
Yeah.
And then I put man that she can see.
Today,
I
was up in the thing, I had a terrible fall, slipped the spine, cracked the earth, I hurt the earth crack. Was in pain tonight when I came here. I said, God, you're going to do something tonight. No pain.
No pain at all.
He
just fell and very fast. Very painful. Pain level. What was it? Pain level. 1 to 10.
An 8.
Yeah. When they prayed, before they prayed, it was still very sore.
It was still sore. Oh, yeah.
No pain whatsoever right now. Somebody else? Who raised their hand? Sure, back there.
Yeah, I was asked, we were having a quick, like a 3-minute prayer, because there's two of us here, one person praying. And I had some hearing issues, if I had for a long, long time, TMJ. I hit that, I'm all as sick as I was, been swarming, my back, just popped my back. We prayed, and I felt the warmth of God, not the old requirements, the warmth of God. And since this has been going on, well, my hearing's not changed, but my body's just lined up.
You're just feeling better in your body.
All the stress is going out.
Right. See, when you hear it, thank you for being honest, Stephen, about your hearing. You gotta understand, guys, we're believing, and believing is active. It's not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose.
Yeah.
It's a position of your heart. You believe. So, you, Father, thank you for what you're doing in my body. Father, thank you. You're making all things new. God, I appreciate your grace working in and through my life. It's not, oh, well, didn't get nothing. Oh, well, either he will or he won't. That's not faith. That's not the Lord. Faith is not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, lose. It's the position of your heart to believe in your confidence. Are you with me?
Yes.
Is there anybody else you have to testify? Look at all these hands that just keep popping up. Are you guys realizing you're healed as this keeps going on? So we got popcorn in the room. This is popcorn right now. But this is my popcorn bag I was talking about right here. Who raised their hand? Yes, ma'am. And then I'm coming to you back there. Yeah. Okay. You just know God's doing something in your body. Good. You just feel like God's working. That's a good place to be. In the back, man.
Yes, I have degenerative disc disorder, and on the 10th of December, they replaced 4 different discs with metal, and I have more of it lower in my spine.
Okay.
After I was praying for this evening, you feel like the lifting of it if there's no pressure.
No pressure. If you have any pain, you're good. You feel good in that area. So you know what it's felt like since then. You feel like, without exaggerating, do you feel totally different?
Yes.
Totally different.
Otherwise, it feels like the bottom part of my head.
Okay. Just try and understand so that you catch what God's doing. That is beautiful. Yeah? Anybody else? Okay, I'll get to you next, sir. Go ahead now.
Well, there's one condition that would have to be verified by test, so I don't
sure,
know.
Sure, sure.
I have thoracic outlet syndrome, and I had to give up physical therapy because of other things, but the pinching is gone. I was in such pain when I came in.
You were in a lot of pain.
A lot of pain.
You're not in any right?
Praise God.
Is that normal? Do you have times where you're not in any, or is it usually noticeable?
It's noticeable. It's
around the clock noticeable, but sometimes it's worse than others, but it's always there.
It's always there.
And it's not there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
My hip was out when I came in here. I walked through the bar, your back, and
your hip feels totally fine. What was it like when you got here? What would that have felt like walking?
Bone to bone.
Catching, grinding, popping. Not doing nothing about it. Feels good. Amen. Yes, a little thing that God has his eyes on. Yay!
Well, what he's encouraging me to testify to was a few months back, you came to town East Texas.
Remember the inmates?
Yeah, Sulphur Springs.
Well, I had lower back pain to the point where I thought, at times the pain was so bad I thought I'd be in a wheelchair.
Well.
But I was okay that day, but it still hurt. But anyway, one of the inmates prayed for me, and I didn't feel any different. But a week and a half later, it was just like gone. And I was just, it was just like gone. And then my mother goes, "Well, Ginger," because my little mother was in the meeting. "Do you think that was from Dan's meeting?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." It took a week and a half to manifest.
Well, here's the thing. This is so beautiful that I'm sharing this.
Yeah, I was healed, but it took a week and a half.
But what I'm saying is, you don't let go. Faith is a point. It's not a point in time. It's a position of the heart. So pray, believe, receive all things. So at what point are we ever called to change our mind or draw a line and say, "Well, I guess God doesn't want to do it. I guess God didn't do it. I guess He's not going to do it." No. When you keep faith alive, the power of God keeps flowing into that situation. That's how your body changes. And there's a beautiful testimony. So you were in a meeting that we did back in August or something.
Was that when it was?
Somewhere. I think 65 inmates to the
inmates
service.
And the fella came.
Was that sweet or what?
It was adorable.
They brought inmates out of the prison to the open service, and they sat in with us in their jumpsuits.
Wow.
In their stripes.
Wow.
And how about all the people that got saved?
I know.
We were baptized like 30-some people in the horse trough right on the front porch. Know me nothing, I woke up to be more like him. See? So I was a maniac back then, wasn't I? I'm still a maniac. Because I own my Bible and he's the same. Are you all good?
Yeah.
Whose body didn't change at all? Don't be hesitant to tell me. You're standing here and it's exactly the same as the first time we prayed. Let me see your hands. Lift them high. I want to see. Look around. Is your person still here? Look around. Whose hands are? Is that your person? Whoever it is, don't switch up people now. Don't be like, "Oh, you move over. God's moving through you, brother." Don't be like, "Hey, I don't want you, man. You was a dry bone the first time." Don't do that. See, I've been around us. I know how we think. We'll look at that little red-haired girl and say, "She's full of Jesus. Get her, man." No. You stay where you're at, honey. Don't you move. Where's your person? You got your person? Does everybody got their person? If you don't have your person, find them. And if they're not here, or they walked out on us, or they're not here, somebody else grab them. Make sure you stand with them and ask what they need in prayer. These are people that nothing changed. All we're going to do is 6 more seconds, and I don't want you to change your prayer. Just bear with me if you can stay. Let's do this. Pray 6 more seconds for the ask their condition, and then pray 6 more seconds, and then see what changes in the room. Let's just believe God. Yeah? Go for it, guys. Find out. Pray. This is short, specific prayer. And go ahead and wrap it up. 6 seconds. Yeah? Thanks, God. That's good. Yeah. Jesus, thank you. Come on. These are people that nothing changed this whole time. We're just believing again. Just speaking life. But we're not asking God to heal. We're speaking to the mountains. Move. Mountain, move. Amen? Come on, guys, you're taking a long 6 seconds. You are milking now. That is 26 seconds. Y'all ready? Amen? Amen. The people that raised their hands, please do me a favor. Check your bodies one more time and be completely honest. Don't exaggerate a thing. Don't try to make nobody feel good. We want you dead. Check your bodies. It was about 8 of you or so. Check your bodies. Did any of you change at all that time? Anybody? That time you changed? Yeah? And are they? Oh, they're checking. You're just checking. Yeah. You changed?
Yeah.
What happened?
That's right.
Okay.
It'll be later tonight, tomorrow, whatever. I know it's coming.
Okay. I get you. So you couldn't really lift your leg. There's no way you can do that? Couldn't do that? What's going on in your back? You still feel pain right now in your back?
I've got
arthritis
all through my back.
Okay. Honey, the little girl at the sink, put your hand right in the over back. Just say back to you. Yep. All pain.
All
discomfort.
All discomfort.
You leave.
Yes, Lord.
And never
come back.
Yes,
Lord. Right, Chip. Believe.
Yes.
Thanks,
God.
Move it around when you love this for me. Just check. Just gently move it around. Check. Just check back. Tell me what you're feeling. Okay. Yeah, I believe that. Do you feel any pain right now? And just tell me if you do. Don't make anything up. Be honest. I want you whole. You don't have pain. Would that hurt?
Oh, yeah.
You don't see her getting lively like this? So you've learned to live protective. You don't move a certain way because it'll out. So you wouldn't normally just...
I was in a nursing home for a week and a half before this, and for 7.5 years. Before that, I was in a wheelchair for 10 years.
And here you are. People that had nothing changed. See?
Absolutely.
She had nothing up until then. You felt totally the same the whole time, through all the testimonies, the whole time. We just prayed one more time and just spoke. If you want something hard to break, and you already hit it with something hard, and it didn't break, what's the average person going to do? I know you guys, man. You got a sledgehammer, and you're trying to bust the tip of that rock off the top of your yard so you can fill it in with dirt, mow over. And you swung and hit that thing hard, and it just sat there and looked at you. You're swinging again. You might even go get a better weight hammer. You might. You know what I mean? And then your wife said, "Honey, dinner. I'll be in a minute." That's all believing in. It's like hitting that hard thing with something harder until it breaks. Amen? Is there anybody else? Something shifted or changed that last prayer out of my like 8 or so people? Something changed? You feel it getting better. Something's happening. Okay. Good. Back there? Something changing? Just a little bit? No, that's good. Listen, if it didn't change, yeah?
Yeah, my feet are hurting from the walk in. My feet aren't hurting.
Not at all. But they were the whole time up until now. And that last time, it just shifted.
It shifted through
blood. Yeah. See, he's really helping me teach right now. What's that? Somebody else?
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Some change.
Yeah?
I feel some change.
Okay, good.
Just like
ever. Yeah? No, that's awesome. I'm not embarrassing you. Stretch your hands to this young man. I'm going to choose your hands. You're loving. You're getting this. Come on now. Yeah? Complete and total hope. God, I thank you for things for you. In Jesus' name. Every infirmity, every liberty, you leave her body. Yeah. Jesus, man. That's really, really good. God, thank you. That's really good. He's doing that in you. That's the presence of Jesus. Nope, that thing will not win. It cannot stop. The love and power of God. Jesus, thank you. I love it. Okay, now listen. If something didn't change in your body, when you leave here, guess what your response is when you get all alone? Father, thank you for all the things you've done and what you're doing in me. I so appreciate your unstoppable love for all of us. Thank you how you love me intimately. I receive your love.
Yes.
That's your beats. Now, how could all those people testify and nothing changed in my body? You can't tell me something blocked my healing, and I got to be doing something wrong, and I think I need deliverance. Yes, from yourself and your thinking. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So whether it changed all the way, somewhat, or not at all, the response is the same because the truth is the same.
Amen.
And that's how your body changes. Do you want to share something?
I'm losing my hearing. And I still have a ringing real loud.
But the tinnitus?
It's not muffled.
Okay.
And that's the thing. He listened to my ear walking by saying, but this been progressive and getting worse for a while. They told me it would. But
you feel it changing the other way right now?
Well, the muffling is less.
Okay.
As far as sounding like I'm just got off an airplane, my ear talk.
Yeah.
That's gotten less. The ringing is still high.
Okay. Let's just pray for you one more time so the body agrees. Let's just pray. Somebody speak over to the tinnitus or ringing or whatever they call it. Somebody speak that out loud. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because you love her, but you never sent your son. Thank you for what you did. You're so good, God. Thank you for what you did. Yeah. Yeah. What's going on? Can you hear that ringing in the same? You hear it the same? Okay. When you leave here tonight, you get all up. Just thank God for loving you, and then he's bringing that thing to stop. Okay? Mm-hmm. Go to sleep. Go to bed. Super thank you. Am I going to see you anymore this weekend? Oh, I'm bailing out on me. I'm just kidding. Do you know anybody here? Oh, okay. So you guys just came in from somewhere else. So you're, oh, okay. So I wanted to know. I just wanted to find out. So if I don't see anymore, here's what I want to do. I just see something about you. Stay in that place. Thank you, God. You're so good. No striving, no will. Just man, you're good. You mean that ring in doesn't have a chance.
Yes.
You will not make money. So it's you may. You may. Just go to bed in that place. And then I'm excited to see about
somebody.
That's why I want to see you again. Because you see countless things. How many things happened in this room tonight?
Yeah.
Be honest. If you were changed in some way, healed completely or somewhat, raise your hand super high and leave it up for a second. Come on, guys. I mean, that is a lot of things. Yeah? So let's stay in this thing. Here's what he's teaching us. We can do this in the Holy Ghost. It wasn't me lining you all up and praying in my gifting.
Right.
It was you praying from a simple place, getting it off of you onto what you believe, his goodness, and bam, look how simple that was. And there were some cool things. I mean, you're talking pins and rods. You're talking taking off the glasses and distinguishing. I mean, this is some real bona fide stuff. You're talking about couldn't hear it, and right in front of us, all of a sudden she's crying, going, I hear that. And she just starts crying right away. That's a dead giveaway. She heard that. Yeah? Fun stuff, guys. This is what happens when we believe. Yeah? So if something doesn't happen, you lose a loved one, you feel like you took a shot in the jaw in life, don't change what you believe. Keep looking to Jesus, because that's where truth is. And keep your eyes on him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And when you get your eyes off of him and into rationale, you'll miss it back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I love you, appreciate you.